Hi, this is Keith Overholt. I am the president and CEO of the Downtown Rush Commission, and we're coming to you with another podcast of stories of hope. And today with me, I have Christy, my friend, and Christy has been around the mission for a while, and I thought we'd talk to her today a little bit about her story and how it's really a story of hope and really where you are now and how you got to the mission. And so tell me a little bit about maybe your younger years, where you grew up and, you know, what part of the country you were from, and tell us about that.
Okay, I was raised in Eva, Alabama. A lot of people don't know where that's at. It's a four-way stop. It now has a Dollar General and a grocery store. Back in the day, it only had a grocery store and a gas station.
Well, so, you know it's coming up if it's got a Dollar General.
That's it. Yeah. It's actually got another one about 5 miles and another one 5 miles past that.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So, what year were you born?
1976.
And so you're Eva, Alabama, which is just a little bit north of Coleman, Alabama. Mm-hmm. And that's just a little bit north of Birmingham, Alabama. Mm-hmm. So Eva's kind of in between Birmingham and Huntsville, mm-hmm. right? And so tell us a little bit about your childhood.
I have a sister, and I now have a brother that was past my childhood. I was just raised as a normal kid. You know, I didn't go to church much growing up. I went to church with, like, the bus would pick you up. Gillum Springs came through and picked you up. I went to Bible school. My aunt and uncle were pastors, so I went to church with them. But past that, I didn't go to church much.
Yeah, so Eva, Alabama is kind of the south of the south, right? I mean, it's a little southern town in the south, right? So tell me a little bit about things you did as a child. I mean, how'd you grow up? Was it kind of country or?
Oh, it was very country. Yeah. Things kids don't do anymore. We played in the mud, crossed over fences and under fences to get to our cousin's house that lived across the field. We fished, swam in springs, and did things like that growing up.
Was it a fun childhood? Or?
Yeah, it was fun. Yeah.
So tell me about as you're growing up and, you know, how it happened that maybe you came to the mission.
Well, growing up, I got pregnant when I was 16. Had my daughter when I was 17 in July, and I started my senior year in August. So I worked, had my daughter, graduated high school, went on and did a few college classes for a little bit, and that kind of didn't work out. And some of the things after high school and into my 20s is what led me to the mission.
Okay, talk about that a little bit. What are the things that you, in your 20s, what happened?
I struggled with drug use. So growing up, never seen anything, knew anything, had even no idea what any of that stuff was. Growing up in a small town, you didn't see things like that much. And I got addicted to meth. So, and that led me down a long path of ended me up here at the mission on June 27th, 2012.
Wow. So meth is what, did it start out with meth right away? Or And how was that introduced to you? How did that happen?
Well, I was working a second shift, and a bunch of us would go after work and hang out for a little bit. And people say this is funny, but I actually was going with my friends to hang out, but I was going and eating cheese. I know that sounds
crazy. It's awesome.
But the guy's dad worked at the Huntsville Hospital and had cheese. It was like the old commodity cheese that I grew up on, that my grandmother used to go stand in line for.
Sure.
And it was good. So for a long time, I would just go hang out with them and eat cheese.
The old government cheese, huh?
Government cheese. Yeah. And it ended up that one time they just asked me, and for whatever reason, I tried it.
So you were in your early 20s?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so you guys were just hanging out, and the first thing you ever tried was meth.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Never any marijuana or drinking or anything? Or
I drank maybe one time when I graduated, but
But nothing. Right away, it was just maybe a peer pressure thing, or you just felt like, hey, I want to be part of the crew?
I don't even really know why I done it.
So what happened that first time? Tell me about what happened the first time that you took meth.
I got sick.
Yeah.
And I didn't really like it. But then I tried it again with other friends, and then it just turned into, yeah.
So if it made you sick, why'd you do it again? What happened with that?
I really don't know why I done it again.
Hmm. But then after a while, you started getting the taste for it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And tell us about that journey. What happened once you started taking meth?
I held jobs. I had good jobs. But then I started losing things. It messed my marriage up. It there was issues with me and my daughter where I wasn't there for her.
Hmm.
There was lies to my family, you know, and then lies to cover up more lies or staying away from them so they wouldn't know what was going on. And it just turned into, yeah.
So how old were you when you got married?
I was 16.
16? Mm-hmm. You got married? So you were going to college. You were going to high school when you were married?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And so how long were you married before?
Until I was 22.
22. Mm-hmm. And really it was the drugs that broke up the marriage, you think?
That, and there was some other issues too between him and I, but yeah.
And it was your daughter's daddy that you were married to? Was from high school or?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I didn't go. I was in high school, but he had went to another school.
Okay. And so at 22, you find yourself starting to take drugs and broken marriage.
Mm-hmm. Divorced.
And divorced already at 22. Talk about that a little bit. How was that impactful on your life? What happened?
What I thought was good for my daughter by not dragging her into places like you see other people do. And their kids seeing them in the state that they're in and high and doing drugs is almost just as impactful on her as it was, you know, not staying around.
Mm-hmm. So at 22, did you still have your daughter with you or?
No, she was joint custody.
Joint custody. Yeah.
And then that started where I missed weekends and things. Mm-hmm.
So drugs were really impacting your family life for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. And also your work life. You said you had some good jobs, but what happened with those?
After a while, you lose them.
Yeah.
You know? So there was there were times, you know, that I had jobs in. I would get promoted for things that my supervisors or other people saw in me and would promote me to things and. Then after a while, you don't go into work, you stay up too late, you don't sleep for days.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, meth is tough, isn't it? But you couldn't get away from it. You just felt like, man, I got to have that next hit or whatever it was with meth. And, so talk about that a little bit. How did it, it's kind of broken your marriage, your daughter's starting to see it, but you still are going down that path. I know this is tough to talk about, but tell me about what that, how long was that time in your life?
About 14 years.
14 years with meth. Wow. Was it any other drugs besides meth once you got in meth or just meth?
Just meth.
And was it, you go do it with friends or?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And I'd have time frames where I would do well, you know, and I would be clean for a while and then I'd fall back into it. And yeah. And some of it too was dealing with things that I had that had happened or.
You talk about that.
But I know that's an excuse now.
Yeah. What were some of those excuses that got you back into it?
Just different things. You know, you're not feeling good enough.
Yeah.
A disappointment to your family. Hmm. You know, trying to make up time with your daughter. Those things.
So life issues, really, right? I mean, things that everybody life deals issues. With.
Yeah, yeah.
But for you, it was something that was like, man, you know, meth makes me feel good or makes me high. And I want to forget, you know, kind of what I'm going through. And is that what kept driving you back? Is that the taste just was like, man, it helps me forget some of the things I feel like I'm failing at.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I know it's emotional.
And then it's just the addiction part of it. You can get things done. You can do, you know.
Yeah. I know it's emotional and it's hard to talk about this, but, you know, part of what we're doing this podcast for is to let people know there is something different that can happen in people's lives. So you said it was for about 14 years, right? And so you're in and out of jobs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And did you get married again? Or
Never got married again. I was engaged one time, but yeah. Never got married again.
So your daughter grows up seeing you kind of in the drug world?
Yeah. Not any, like, just visitation.
Yeah. And like you said,
when I made them.
Yeah. And sometimes you miss the visitations, mm-hmm. yeah, because the drug. So what point, you know, you said it was 14 years. At what point did you go, man, this is just enough. I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired.
Well, I'd lost everything, you know, homes, cars, relationships, trust. And the last thing that I felt the only thing I had left was my sanity. And I started losing it to the point where I had went to emergency rooms a couple of times and they had diagnosed me as schizophrenic.
And it was because of the drugs.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So tell us maybe about the last year being in the addiction and what brought you to the mission. What was going on that last year?
Well, a little bit before the last year, I didn't know this place existed.
Mm-hmm.
So I had called other places for treatment, and you either had to have insurance or like $1,200 or pay a little bit up front and then you pay some later.
Mm-hmm.
My family wasn't going to give me any money, and I didn't have it.
Yeah.
And my Aunt Judy, which is another crazy story, I had this really old Bible, and I was so like the 1800s, and I was proud to show it to my Aunt Judy because they were pastors.
Hmm.
And she just sat beside me, and she told me about Miss Kara and told me about this place.
Hmm.
And I pushed it away for a little bit, but then I started to try to find out about it. Hmm. Called Miss Kara.
And Kara was the ministry director over the women mm-hmm. at that time. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So how did your aunt know about the rescue mission and what we do here in Huntsville for the folks that are...
Kara and my Uncle Raff are cousins.
Okay.
And so I knew Kara growing up too. Had went to Bible school with her.
Yeah.
She was like a teacher at Bible school.
Because Eve is about 45 minutes from here, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, so... it's not like it's next door that you're just thinking, oh, you know, downtown rescue. You didn't even know about it, right?
Mm. Wow. I had no idea. I thought it was like places you see on TV.
Yeah.
And that there was like cots everywhere and everybody was housed in one room and it was scary.
Yeah. Yeah. So you knew Kara, who everybody here calls her Miss Kara, because mm-hmm. she was the women's ministry director. Did you know her outside of the mission before you came here?
Yeah.
So what did you think of her and what she did before you got here? Didn't you really know?
I didn't know she was even doing this
because
I hadn't seen her since, I guess I was probably 13, 14.
Hmm. So you start hearing this from your aunt. And tell me about the day or the week before you come to the mission and what happened that week that said, you know, okay, this is it. I've got to do something about my life. I got to get it straightened out. What happened?
I was tired. My daughter had just graduated high school. I can't remember the time frame. I think she graduated maybe 2011. And I was just tired. I was tired of that person, tired of, you know, not being able to be around my family because of how I was. Mom wouldn't let me stay with her. I was sleeping in the only possession I had. I had a Jeep, and, you know, I was sleeping in it.
Hmm. And how long did you sleep in your vehicle?
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
Off and on from probably about 2009.
So three years, wow. And your family was just sick and tired. Can you talk about that at all? Why did they know that you were doing drugs?
Oh, yeah,
they knew. And they were like, listen, we can't do this anymore with mm-hmm. you? Had it gotten to the point where you were just, you know, I know some people actually start stealing from their family and things like that. Was that some of it too? Or?
No, I didn't do any of that.
No.
Yeah.
But they were just like, we're sick and tired of her being down this path. And they were like, hey, we've got to, was it just tough love or?
Yeah, it was tough love. I mean, my mom would talk to me, but I didn't really want her to see me in that shape either.
Yeah.
Or to put her in any mess. She never bailed me out of jail the few times I went.
Yeah.
Stayed. So
what'd you go to jail for?
Mostly expired tag tickets.
Oh, yeah. So vehicle stuff, right? Yeah.
But silly stuff, yeah.
Yeah, but it was things you weren't paying because you're using the money for mm-hmm. drugs, right? Yeah,
or just forget.
Yeah.
I mean, I thought the first one I got, I thought that, like, in movies that they would just keep giving you these things and you had to have a certain amount of points and then you were done.
Yeah.
Then you would get in trouble. I didn't realize that if you didn't pay a ticket that all this other stuff would happen.
Yeah. And they put you in jail a couple times for that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so your jail things were just really for...
There was one for drugs, but yeah.
Yeah. And how'd they catch you doing that?
They just pulled us over and I just was like, this is mine.
Oh, wow. You admitted it.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
yeah.
I know you well enough that yeah. even back then, you probably, that's mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. So how long did you serve much time in jail for that?
No, it was maybe a week or so when I got out.
Did you get before a judge or how'd that go? And they were just like, hey, we're going to let you go. Don't do it again. Or what were they telling you?
Oh, yeah. There was fines you have to pay.
Yeah. So, yeah. But that didn't deter you from doing the drugs.
It doesn't really deter anybody from it. Yeah.
Yeah. So they fine you for doing drugs, and you just go back out, you pay the fine, or some people don't even pay the fine, and they just go back out and doing drugs again.
And it's just a cycle. Yeah. The cycle's getting worse, and they're just getting where you, by the time, so even some people here, by the time they graduate, they have all these fines from getting locked up, getting out, and it's a lot.
Yeah. How many times do you think you were in jail?
Maybe 4 times.
Yeah. Was it scary?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because you're a little person. I mean, you're not a very big person. So going to jail, what did it feel like the first time?
I've never, it was different.
Yeah. So 3-4 times you were in jail, you finally get sick and tired of it, and your aunts talk to you about this program at the mission. So this was the first rehab that you went through was here? And so tell us about your first day at the mission. What happened?
Oh, I was scared.
Yeah.
Because I had to stay in overnights. And
What is overnight? So people out there understand what that
means. So overnights is our emergency services part. We have it for men and women. They can come and stay as long as they need to.
Yeah.
And they come for all different reasons.
Even if they're drunk or addicted or...
As long as they're not causing any mess, and they're allowed to stay. So, and not many places are like that.
Man, the reason we do that, too, is, it's always been my passion that I don't want anybody dying in the street. Mm-hmm. So there's some places out there that are recovery places or missions that say, hey... You know, we're not gonna bring this person in because they're drunk or they're addicted or they're high right now. I'd rather them be here than somewhere else because at some point we can reach them. That's my point. If they're out there, we're not able to reach them. Yeah. But if they're here, we can reach them. And so, talk about your first day of, it was in this building, right?
Mm-hmm.
And for those that don't know out there, we're in North Alabama, we're in Huntsville, and Downtown Rescue Mission has been here for almost 50 years. But your first day, talk about how you were entered into the mission and how you finally got into the program.
Well, when I got here, I thought I had a suitcase that had the other few items that I had, and I thought I was coming for 18 months. Because I think that's how it used to be before then, and it had just at some point had changed before I got here. Yeah. And they went through all my items. I had to give up my pocket knife, which about got me because it was just a little pocket knife I always carried.
But it was something that was for protection for back when you were sleeping in your own vehicle, right?
Yeah. The people were super nice. At the time, it was a lady named Kim and Miss – oh, I can't think of her name. Linda. Was here.
Yep.
And she was awesome too. And they were just very nice to me.
Hmm.
Very nice.
So you come in and you have to stay in the emergency shelter. How long did you stay there?
Kara was on vacation because it was, like I said, June 27th, and she had taken off, so until after the 4th.
Yeah, we allow some staff to take vacation sometime. Yeah,
right. Yeah. But she was on vacation, and then she brought me into the program when she got back.
So you probably stayed on the emergency shelter for a week or so, and then
I think it was right at a week. Yeah.
So you get into the program, and you know, you really in your life you were to the point, and I say this all the time to people that don't understand. Sometimes you go down an addiction, either alcohol or drugs, and there gets to be a point where you just get sick and tired of it.
Oh, yeah.
You know, where, you know, for you at 14 years, that's a long time. And you're like, you know what? I am just keep on this cycle of I'll maybe get arrested and I'll stop for a while, or I get a job and I stop for a while. And then you go back to it, but there's never really a final stop, right? You know, you just always, it's a circle, right?
It's a circle.
And but you came here and you got in the program, and talk about the program a little bit. It's a year-long program that's really Bible-based, and teach people about, hey, listen, this is how you can change your life. It's not about you changing it. It's really about Jesus changing your life.
Yeah.
Talk about that a little bit.
So when I got here and went into the program, I think it was right at the time when Miss Kara got back, they did a graduation. So I got to see that and see people that were moving steps up and going into a different step. I got to see them be excited about it and hear some of their stories. So that made me excited too, because like I said, I did it for a long time, and you're around people. You see some people that get out and do well, but then you also see people who continually are back in it and back in it, and some that never get out, that you know, addiction takes them. And it just felt good to be able to see that people had hope. I felt safe here too.
Yeah.
So sleeping in my car or sleeping at people's houses, you know, you get so high sometimes that when you do come down, you fall asleep almost anywhere.
Yeah.
And it took me a little bit here to know that I was safe. Like, you know, I still slept with my purse under my pillow. I liked sleeping on a top bunk. I didn't want to sleep on a bottom bunk. Just different things. I didn't sleep well because I was always used to being on guard.
Yeah.
You know.
So your sleep before never was restful.
No.
Yeah.
It was just out sometimes. Yeah.
So when you come here, how long do you think it took you before you felt like, hey, this is a place I can trust and I feel safe?
Probably about 3 months.
3 months. Yeah.
And that was just getting used to thinking different and not thinking where I had to protect myself at all times.
Yeah. Well, and some of that is you coming off of being in that drug lifestyle too, right? Well, one of our slogans here is, you know, this is a place that people can find hope, right? And so I love that you were able to see the graduation. We just had one last night, and it's awesome because there's such joy there. There's people that have, some haven't even graduated with a high school diploma, and they're graduating this program, and they get a diploma for the first time in their lives. And there was tears last night. There was joy. And that happens. We do that every quarter, and it's so fun to see because and it was really cool. I didn't know that you were able to come right during a graduation before you even got in the program. So you got to see other people that are finishing this program, and boy, was that a thing for you that gave you motivation? Or
oh, it did. It gives you hope. You get, because you hear stories of people and some of the things and places they came from, or their life that happened to them is way worse than what mine was.
Yeah.
And you see that they came out of it, they're alive, that, you know, their relationships were restored with their family was at graduation, and
is that something that you wanted when you saw that happen?
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Was the family thing a big thing for you? I wanted my family back in my life. Was that a big part of that? Yeah. So you're here for a year. You came in 2012, right? So you're graduating 2013. Talk about that year of being in the program. What were some of the highlights for you, or things that really touched your life?
For me, that was the teachers who came in and volunteered, the staff, other volunteers from churches, schools. They didn't volunteer because they gained recognition. They volunteered because they believed in Christ and they knew his love and what it could do. And they showed that to others. I never felt judged by anybody, even them knowing the place that they were in and what we do here was the people they were going to be dealing with.
Yeah. So you felt like people were coming in and not looking down their nose at you, for sure.
No, and they were doing it out of love. Yeah. They weren't doing it out of anything, because sometimes it was even time they were taken away from their families.